Good morning, everyone. We'll commence our service of worship, please, by singing together the hymn number 302 in your hymn book, the hymn number 302, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress, midst flaming worlds, and these are red, with joy shall I lift up my head. The hymn number 302 and the page 298 will stand as we sing, and singing it out with all of our heart. Let's stand as we sing. Just look to the Lord, praying for his help and blessing, that we might know his presence here among us today. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal, heavenly Father, we do gather, O God, before thee the Sabbath morning, and we come through the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one of whom we have been singing of in our praise already this morning. And Father, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, thine only begotten Son. We thank thee, Father, that he came into this world to be our Savior, to be the propitiation for our sins. Father, we thank thee for his perfect life, for his perfect righteousness. We thank thee, Father, that he did no sin, he knew no sin, and he could do no sin. Father, we thank thee, Father, that he kept the law of God perfectly for us. And Father, we thank thee, Lord, not only did he keep the law of God perfectly for us, but that he paid the penalty, the debt of our sin, and the law that we ourselves have broken in thought and word and deed. We thank thee, Father, that Christ paid the penalty of our sin, that debt of sin in full upon the cross of Calvary, when he suffered and bled and died as our substitute. And that, Lord, he suffered upon himself the wrath of God that was our due, that we deserve for our sins. Yet he bore our sin in his own body to the tree. He bore upon himself that wrath, that judgment, when he cried out on the cross, "It is finished." Cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And Father, we thank thee that Christ was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, that we might be saved and redeemed from our sins. And Father, we thank thee, O God, today for Christ dying for our sins upon the cross, that he gave his life, he paid the debt of our sin in full, and that though he was buried, we praise thee and we thank thee, O God, that he rose again the third day triumphant over death, over sin, over all the powers of hell, and over all the powers of darkness. And Father, we thank that he defeated Satan and sin, and that he rose again victorious. He is the great victor over sin. And Father, we thank that Christ will never die again. We thank thee, O God, that he is alive forevermore, and at thy right hand in heaven's glory, he intercedes, he prays for us as the people of God. And we rejoice, O God, today in Christ, our dear Redeemer. We thank thee, Father, that we are accepted through him. Christ himself could say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And Father, we thank thee for each and every one in our gathering today who can rejoice in Christ as their Redeemer, who can rejoice in thy saving grace and in thy keeping power, who can say today with the hymn writer that it is well with their soul, not only for time and for all of eternity. And Father, we thank thee today for the riches of thy grace that we find in and through Christ our Redeemer. And O God, as we come to thee today through Christ, we thank thee, O God, for all thy mercies to us in the week that has gone by. We thank thee for health and strength, for food and raiment. We thank thee for all thy temporal goodness to us. We thank thee for the spiritual blessings. We thank thee for thy presence, thy grace, thy help that has been known and given even in times of great need. And O God, as we come to thee today, help us to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We thank thee, O God, that thou dost know our every need and care and heartache today. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt come by thy Spirit. Come, Lord, by thy grace, and meet us each one at the very point of our need. We thank thee, O God, that there's no limit to thee, no limit to thy power, no limit to thy grace. And Father, we thank that thy grace is sufficient for all our needs. Bless our coming together here today. Bless every believer in Christ. Draw each Christian closer, Lord, to thee. Help us to die more and more to self, to sin. Help us to be conformed more and more to the image of Christ. For anyone through times of deep trial, those that may be walking through the valley today, we pray that thou would lift them up, that thou would encourage them, that they would know the Lord drawing strangely near to their hearts, we ask of thee. For others, Lord, who may be walking afar from thee, give that restoring touch. Others needing a word of counsel or guidance, we thank thee that thou hast promised to teach us in the way that thou wilt have us to go. And for any with us today not saved out of Christ, speak to them. And Father, we pray that even this Lord's Day morning, they might come in faith and in repentance unto the Lord and put their trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. We thank thee for our Sabbath school and Bible class. Bless the ministry there to our children and our young people. Remember all the work also of Bethel Children's Crusade and the ongoing meetings week by week. Remember the work of our youth fellowship as well. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless all our children and all our young people that are reached, that through thy word, save them, we beseech of thee. And those who have trusted thee, lead them on with the Lord, O God, we ask. Father, we're mindful of those unable to come today because of age and sickness and infirmity. Do bless them, Lord. Do minister to them. And do strengthen them by thy grace and by thy power, O God, we ask of thee. For, Lord, those who have suffered loss in recent times, Lord, do comfort their hearts. Fill the vacant chair today with the presence and the nearness of the Lord. And may they know that underneath and all around are the everlasting arms of the Savior. Remember every family and household connected with our congregation. Do unite every family circle in the Lord and meet the need of every home and every family, we beseech of thee. Bless, O God, the forthcoming mission. Bless our brother Morrow as he would come tonight in thy will. And Bless the meetings throughout the week. We thank thee for the outreach, the giving out of the tracts and the invitations. And do speak on through the printed page. May it be a time not only of sowing, but of adding to thy work, Lord, such as should be saved. Remember, O God, our land today. We commit every sister congregation to thee. May they know thy blessing, thy help, thy grace. We pray, Lord, for Brother Colin and Noel as they commence that mission today in Achalee. May thy hand of blessing be upon them there. And other gospel missions on at this time, special endeavors and ministry meetings. Bless every faithful witness, Lord, for thee up and down the length and breadth of our land. We think of England, Scotland, and Wales, that thou would bless them also. We pray for our missionaries today, those that have gone at the call of God to many different parts of the world. Lord, bless them, be with them, encourage them, keep them safe, give them health and strength, and use them for the glory of the Lord. We pray for the land of Israel, especially at this time, that, Lord, thou would grant peace and stability there. We pray, Lord, especially for thy people, thine ancient people there, that there might be that turning to the Lord in salvation and in faith, O God, we ask of thee. We think also, Lord, of thy people in Ukraine. Grant peace and stability there as well. We ask of thee, protect and bless the witness of your people there. And Father, we pray that even in all these events, that people would realize that thou art yet on the throne, and that, Lord, there might be that turning unto thee. Have mercy upon our own land and nation. We pray for our royal family. Have mercy upon them, that the light of thy truth, the light of the gospel, will shine into that household, and that they might be guided to thy word and guided by thy word, even unto salvation. Remember our government as well, those that would rule in our land and nation. And again, Lord, we pray that their hearts would be directed to thy word and by thy word, and that even those that would profess thy name in government, give them grace and strength to stand up for what is right, O God, before thee we do pray. Father, we just thank thee that we can bring all these needs and cares to thee. We thank thee, O God, that thou art sovereign, that thou art Lord over all, and even in all the affairs of men, and none can stay thy hand or say, what doest thou, Lord? Bless us now, we pray. Grant us a real sense of your presence. Do every heart good, and in everything that is said and done today in this house, that glory and honor will be brought to the name of our Savior, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. I'm going to turn again, please, in our hymn book to the hymn number 51 in your hymn book, the hymn number 51 in the page 196. Sometimes the light surprises the Christian while he sings. It is the Lord who rises with healing in his wings when comforts are declining. He grants the soul again a season of clear shining to cheer it after rain. Hymn number 51 on the page 196, and we'll stand as we sing. have your Bible with you today. I'd ask you to turn, please, to the Old Testament book of Song of Solomon, Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. Continuing on with our studies in this book, and we're reading today from verse 2 of the chapter, Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. And beginning a reading at the verse 2, you'll find Song of Solomon in the middle part of the Old Testament, just a few books after the book of the Psalms. We're turning to Song of Solomon, chapter 5, and the verse number 2. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I have washed my feet, how shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh. Upon the handles of the lock I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me, they wounded me. The keepers of the wall took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 8. And our prayer is that God will add his own blessing to this public reading of his eternal and infallible word. At this stage of our meeting, I want to welcome everyone this Lord's Day morning to God's house. It's good to see each one gathered with us here today. Prayers the Lord will richly bless you. And if you're visiting with us, we extend to you a very special welcome. It's always a joy to visitors to share in our fellowship. If you're a believer, may you be drawn closer to the Lord today as Savior. And if you're here today and you're not saved, even today may you come and trust the Lord and call upon Him for salvation. A special welcome also to those who may be viewing online as well. We thank you for joining with us, and we pray the Lord will bless you today around God's precious and holy word. The announcements for the week are as follows. Do please remember the evening prayer meeting tonight at 6:30. We encourage as many as possible to gather for the time of prayer. And then at 7 o'clock sees the commencement of our gospel mission, just for 1 week, that harvest mission. The evangelist is the Reverend John Morrow. And the singers tonight are Raymond and Jenny Foy from our own congregation. Pray for that meeting tonight. Do all you can to come back again tonight. I would love to see every family represented at the gospel meeting. And then do remember the meetings. Make them known and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's precious word. Do remember the mission as it continues Monday through to Friday, 8 p.m. There will be a time of prayer every night at 7:30. Pray for the evangelists and those who sing and testify, that each one will know the help of the Lord. And tomorrow night, God willing, our sister Mrs. Olive Maxwell will be with us to give and share in a word of testimony. Pray for the meetings. It's just for 1 week, and that week will go in very, very quickly. Attend the meetings night by night. We'll be seeking to keep the meetings just to the hour, and do all you can to invite and to bring others in under the sound of God's word. There will be no midweek prayer meeting on account of the mission. And also the youth fellowship will be off on Friday night on account of the mission. But we would encourage all the members of the youth fellowship to come along to the mission. And there'll be no door-to-door outreach this week, just on account of the mission. Again, a word of thanks to all who helped with the outreach last week. Over 3,000 invites and tracts were given out around the community. And pray for God's blessing upon those. The children's meetings each night, 6:30, Tuesday night, Tresna, Wednesday night, Lisbalaw, Thursday night, Maguire's Bridge, Friday night here in Bethel. Be much in prayer for Gillian and all who help in those meetings, and pray for the boys and girls as they gather in. Next Lord's Day, the 29th of October, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m. morning worship service, 12 noon, be seated by the half hour of prayer. We'll be long to bring God's word. And then the final mission service at 7 p.m., the Reverend Morrow and the soloist, our sister, Mrs. Ruth Cashel. So do remember that, please. Can I just remind you also of the Sunday school shoebox appeal? And all shoeboxes are to be in the prayer room by next Lord's Day. That is Lord's Day, the 29th of October. Do remember that, please. The church finance report for 2022 is available there on the table on the porch. And the church treasurer has asked me just to mention the matter of gift aid. If anyone wishes to help the church with this, do speak to our treasurer, Mr. Jeffrey Scott. There's the latest mission update there from FAME is available. And then there's also our Missionary Council news update and our various missionaries under our mission board serving around the world. You'll get those out on the table on the porch. The next Ladies' Fellowship meeting will be Monday night, the 13th of November at 8 p.m. And the speaker is our sister, Mrs. Beulah McMullen from our Clogher Valley Church. And also the annual Christmas dinner for the Ladies' Fellowship is on Monday night, the 11th of December at 7 p.m. in the Mart restaurant. All ladies are welcome and welcome to bring their friends and all going. There's a sheet out there. Do put your name on that sheet, please. The matter of the baptismal service, as we've mentioned for a number of weeks, again, would draw to your attention that the session is hoping to organize in the near future. And any believer wishing to be baptized, do let us know and we'll help you with that matter. The annual remembrance service will be in our church here, Lord's Day, the 12th of November at 7 p.m. Supper for all on that occasion. I'll be much in prayer for it and make it known. The offerings for Bethel Children's Crusade over the harvest weekend came to £1,241, which we thank you sincerely in the Lord. Also, the offering on Tuesday night for God's work in the Philippines, this is added on to what was raised in the coffee morning the other week, came to £168.50. Do please pray for Brother Colin and Noel as they commence a two-week gospel mission in our Acca Lee Church today. Do remember the Consider Christ Outreach Saturday the 4th of November down to Newbridge in County Kildare. Pray for that. And again, anyone wishing to go, let us know and we'll let you know the arrangements. Also, the Missionary Council weekend is on the 3rd and the 4th of November. There's leaflets out there regarding the different meetings concerned with that. And that's really all by way of necessary announcements. Nice to see your sister Jill with us today, and we congratulate her as well on her recent marriage and pray for her and Alan. The Lord will bless them and guide them in their new life together. We're going to turn, please, in our hymn book, please, to the hymn number 640. The hymn number 640 in your hymn book on the page 434. O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Revive thy church with life and power. O breath of life, come cleanse, renew us, and fit thy church to meet this hour. 640. We'll remain seated for the early part of this hymn. We don't take up an offering during the meeting, but do remember the offering plates as you leave. 640.
Oh,
Well, we'll just look to the Lord again in a word of prayer, praying just that we'll know the Lord's help and blessing and speaking voice amongst us here today. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for that sense of Thy presence with us already here in this gathering. We thank Thee for these hymns that we've been singing and how they bless our hearts and challenge our souls. We thank Thee for the reading of the precious Word of God, and we rejoice today that Thy Word is forever settled in heaven. And Lord, as we come now to consider Thy Word and the time that is left, draw near. And Lord, as Thou didst open up the heart of Lydia of old, Lord, open up all our hearts, we pray, from the very youngest to the oldest, to hear not the voice of man or the voice of the preacher, but oh, that we might each one hear the still, small voice of God saying, "This is the way, walk ye therein." Bless Thy Word today to the strengthening and the sanctifying of every Christian in this meeting. Bless Thy Word, O God, to the saving of every sinner in this gathering. Also, maybe those listening in online, unsaved as well. Lord, use Thy Word to save them today. Lord, Thou said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Apply the Word with power by Thy Spirit to such hearts, we pray. And Lord, in everything that is said and done, O God, use Thy Word to bring glory and honor unto Thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Cleanse me afresh in the precious blood. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost. Pour out Thy Spirit upon preacher and upon congregation alike. Have Thy way, O God, amongst us this day. We pray for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Our text of Scripture today that we want to look at and base our message upon are the opening words of verse number 2 of Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. It says, "I sleep, but my heart waketh." Now, spiritual slumber is a great danger that can beset the Christian. And whenever this happens, there is a neglect of the things of God, and there is a breaking down of the believer's fellowship with the Lord. This danger was something that befell the Lord's own disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane on the very eve of our Savior's crucifixion. While the Lord was praying, the disciples were sleeping. And the Lord, we are told in the Scriptures, came to them, and it says, "And He cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? The Apostle Paul also, in his letter to the Christians in the city of Rome, warned them about this very reality, for he says, "Now it is high time to awake out of sleep." And we can also say today that spiritual slumber is the condition of the spouse here in our text today in Song of Solomon chapter 5 and the verse number 2 when she says, "I sleep, but my heart waketh." Now, as we've already mentioned in weeks gone by, the spouse here is but another title for the child of God. And this believer here who is speaking through the Word is still a Christian. This is because God's salvation is an eternal salvation. They still belong to the Lord, and they still belong to the Lord's family, but they've been overcome of spiritual slumber and spiritual ease. Hence they say in our text, "I sleep, but my heart waketh." And in this particular condition for this believer at this particular time, there has been a loss of fellowship with the Lord in their life. And we see this from what the spouse says about the Lord further on down the chapter in verse number 6, when she says, "But my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone." And there was a breaking down of this fellowship between them and the Lord that they had previously known. And perhaps this is how it is with some believer in our gathering here today. Yes, spiritual slumber has come into your life as a Christian. Things are not as they once were between you and the Lord, and fellowship with the Lord is broken down. It's not as it once was between you and your Savior. And today in this meeting, you wonder, you think, can I walk in sweet fellowship with the Lord, my Savior, Jesus Christ again? Well, praise God, you can. Because, dear people of God, the Lord's love toward us as His children is a love without measure. There is no end to the Lord's love toward His people. On account of that, the Lord is one who does not cast off His people. Read over in the book of the Psalms these tremendous words. It says, the Lord will not cast off His people, neither will He forsake His inheritance. And also the Lord is one who restores His people. And the psalmist David, he experienced that firsthand in his own life, for he could say of the Lord in Psalm 23, He restoreth my soul. Dear people, it is indeed for this particular reason then that I want us to consider our text today. And notice the believer's deliverance from this matter of spiritual slumber. Notice first of all here with me the believer's confession. And you see here how the believer confesses to being in a condition of spiritual slumber. For notice their words, the opening words of our text. Their confession is this, I sleep. My, whenever a person sleeps, that person is inactive. My, there has been a cessation of activity. And this was the case with this believer as far as the things of God were concerned. The things of God had been set aside. And it is important to say that this was something that troubled this Christian. It troubled their heart. It troubled their mind. For notice what the spouse goes on to say in her text. She says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. In other words, their conscience was deeply troubled by what had happened. And they had lost the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, which they had previously known and enjoyed. And people, can I say, this is always the case. Whenever the believer turns away from the Lord and leaves aside the Lord and the things of God. I wonder, is this the case with one in our gathering this morning here in this meeting? Yes, in your life there's been a setting aside of the things of God, and this is something that has troubled you, troubled your heart, troubled your conscience, and you say today with the spouse in our text, I sleep, but my heart waketh. And dear child of God, when you and I, whenever we turn away from the Lord and cease serving the Lord and doing the will of the Lord and start living for self, we will know no peace ruling and reigning and abiding in our hearts as Christians. Why? Because as believers in Christ, you and I, we are spoiled for the world. And dear believer, the Lord has saved us to be His own, and He has saved you and I particularly for a purpose, and that is to be employed in the Lord's service and in witnessing for the Master. Yes, the believer here confesses to being in a case of spiritual slumber, but it is something that concerns their heart and something that concerns their soul. You'll notice something else here about this confession. This believer also confesses to the Lord's speaking voice in their life. For notice what the believer goes on to say here in the remainder of verse 2 in the chapter. They say, it is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. And my despite the wayward condition of this believer, we see here through these words how the Lord comes to this believer. And the Lord speaks to their heart. And with tenderness and with tender love and sympathy, the Lord knocks at their heart's door, seeking a restoring of that fellowship that has been hindered and that fellowship that has been broken. And dear child of God, can I say this is how the Lord deals with you and I also as His children. Whenever we turn away from the Lord, He comes after us, He speaks to us. And He knocks at our heart's door. Turning your Bible over to Revelation chapter number 3 and the verse number 20. Here you have the Lord speaking to his people, and notice what he says. It's a verse that is often preached in the gospel, but in the context, it's the Lord here addressing his own people. And he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me." And the thought is there, the Lord knocking at the heart's door of the believer, seeking after fellowship with the believer, with the child of God. Oh, dear believer in our meeting this day, let me ask you the question, has the Lord been knocking at your heart's door of late? Has the Lord been speaking to your heart of late? And dear people, the Lord does speak to us. And the Lord does knock at our heart's door as his people. And how does he do that? He does that by his word, by his truth, but by the scriptures. He does that by the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives as his children. He does that also through the ministry of his faithful servants in the proclamation of his word to our hearts. And he also does it by circumstances, by events, by providences that happen in our life as the people of God. Oh, dear believer, has the Lord been speaking to you of late, knocking at your heart's door of late? Let me say this, dear people of God, that when the Lord speaks, it's vital that you and I listen to his voice, that we listen to his knock, as it were, on our heart's door. In the book of Jeremiah, the Lord says we are to diligently hearken unto him. He says, diligently hearken unto me. But sadly, we see something else here in this believer's confession, how they disregard the Lord's voice at this time. For look at verse number 3 of the chapter. Notice here what the spouse, what the believer says in response to the Lord's voice and the Lord's knock. She says, "I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet, and how shall I defile them?" In their ease, in their spiritual slumber, the spouse here, the believer, fails to respond to the Lord's voice. They say, "I have put off my coat. How will I put it on? I'm comfortable. I'm at ease. I don't want to be disturbed by the voice of the Lord and by the knocking of the Lord at my heart's door." And they turn away. They fail to respond to the Lord's voice and the Lord's knocking at this time. Oh, brethren and sisters in Christ this morning, let us not be like this believer. Let us not be here like the spouse in the Song of Solomon. For if we turn away from the Lord's voice, it will lead to further spiritual declension and decline in our hearts and lives as God's people. It will lead to further ruin in our life as a Christian, as a child of God. Over in the book of Proverbs, we read these solemn words from Solomon. It says, "Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed." We're not to despise or turn away from the Lord's voice, the Lord's knocking, his speaking at our heart's door. My speaking of those who heed and hearken to the Lord's voice. The hymn writer penned these words. They said, "But we can never prove the delight of his love until all on the altar we lay, for the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for all those who will trust and obey." And there the hymn writer is speaking particularly of the believer and God's blessing upon that child of God who listens to God, who obeys his word, who listens and heeds to the voice of the Lord in their hearts. It says to you and I as Christians over in the book of Hebrews, it says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh." We're not to turn away from the speaking voice of God. The Bible says, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." It's better for us to listen, to hearken, and to heed the voice of God, the knocking of the Lord upon our heart's door. How we should follow the example, each one of us, of young Samuel when God came knocking at his heart and at his life. How did Samuel respond? Even though he was just a young child, he said, "Speak, for thy servant here, if he was desirous to hear and to know the Lord's speaking voice. Yes, we see here the believer's confession. But not only do we see this believer's confession, notice secondly here, notice the believer's distress, the believer's distress. Look at how verse 4 of the chapter begins. She says, my beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door. And this is really pictorial language, but the thought here is of the Lord continuing to draw very near to this believer and speaking on to them. So near, as it were, but that he puts his hand, as it were, through the very keyhole of their heart's door. He draws very, very near to me, speaks on to them in a very close and near and intimate way. And my, this leads to further conviction and further concern in the heart of this believer. For notice what they say there at the end of verse 4. They say, and my bowels were moved for him. That is their heart, their being, their soul, their conscience here is as being stirred as the Lord draws very near and as the Lord speaks. We see then how this believer rises up to respond to God's voice. But they find that in their delay to respond to that voice, that delay has caused a withdrawal of the Lord and the Lord's presence from them. Look at what they go on to say in verse 5 and verse 6 of the chapter. The spouse says, I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. And here we see this believer's deep distress in their heart and in their soul at this time. There's been that withdrawing from them of the Lord. You see here how their fellowship with the Lord is now broken. You see that from what is said there in verse number 6 in particular. The spouse says here, I opened to my beloved but could not find him. She couldn't find her beloved. Again, you see that their prayer to the Lord was unanswered. For again in verse number 6, she says, I called him but he gave me no answer. And then we see something further, that their testimony also as a believer was wounded and marred. For notice what they go on to say in verse 7 of the chapter. They say, the watchmen that went about the city found me, they smote me, they wounded me, and the keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. And that is most significant here. She speaks of being wounded. There was a wound in her heart. She speaks of her veil being removed, and this was the cause of shame for a woman to be out at night without the veil in Bible times and an Eastern culture at that time. And here the picture is of the believer being wounded and their testimony being impeded and hindered, really, as they have lost out in fellowship with the Lord, as there's not been that responding to the Lord's voice when the Lord has called and sought to draw them back to himself. There is that distress. The child of God, can I say to you this morning in our gathering that this distress will be our portion as well. If we too turn away from the Lord, if we turn away from the Lord and follow the ways of the world, our hearts will be vexed as Christians. Vexed even like the heart of Lot was vexed when he went and dwelt and pitched his tent towards Sodom. The Bible says of Lot, for that righteous man dwelling among them vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. There was that vexing of his heart. Likewise, dear Christian, if we turn away from the Lord and go after the ways of this world, there'll be that vexing in our hearts, in our souls, in our conscience as believers. Also, if we turn away from the Lord and His will for our lives, we no longer enjoy the Lord's presence in our heart and life as Christians. And Paul, he warned the Ephesian believers of this when he said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And likewise, if we turn away from the Lord, our prayer life also will be affected. It will be hindered, it will be impeded. For David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And further still, if we turn away from the Lord's voice and will for our lives, our Christian testimony as a believer will be deadened. It will be impeded. Will not be the salt of the earth as we should be. Will not be the light of the world that we should be as God's people. Turning your Bible over to James chapter 1. And here James is speaking to the Lord's people about this very particular matter. And look at what he says in James chapter 1. Verses 13 to 15, it's a warning to us all who are saved. If we turn away from the Lord and we disobey the Lord, go away from His will for our lives and go after the things of the world and that which is ungodly, it will affect, hinder, impair our testimony as Christians. Look at what he says in verse 13 of James chapter 1. He says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And there James is warning God's people of the effects of sin and disobedience to the Lord, going away from the Lord. It brings death. It deadens the Christian's witness and testimony. It hinders their walk with the Lord. And consequently, the child of God is not the influence for God in the world that they should be. Yes, we see here the believer's confession. We see the believer's distress, but notice one final thing here in connection with our text this morning. Notice also the believer's restoration. The believer's restoration. And this is really implied by what is said in verse 8 of the chapter. Not only verse 8, but what is also recorded in the remainder of the chapter. You look at verse 8, notice the language here of the spouse. The believer, as they speak of the Lord, they say, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. Notice the language that she uses there. It's very important. Despite her ease, despite her spiritual slumber, you'll see that this believer still loves the Lord. There's a love in their heart for the Lord. For notice how they address the Lord. They address the Lord as my beloved. The Lord was still precious to them and they loved the Lord. Also, their lack of fellowship with the Lord, it makes them lovesick for the Lord. For notice what they say further about the Lord. At the end of verse 8, they say, I'm sick of love. In other words, they long for this restoration of sweet fellowship with the Lord again in their heart and in their life. And in light of this, this believer then asks their fellow Christians to pray for them and to tell the Lord that they themselves long for that restoring touch of the Lord in their life. Notice how the spouse here puts it to our fellow believers and companions in Christ. She says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love. And this was the prayer rising up from our heart to our friends, to our fellow believers, the daughters of Jerusalem. If you find my beloved, tell him that I am sick of love. She was asking others to pray for the restoring touch of God in her heart and in her soul. And the Lord answers this call for restoration. He comes to this believer again in grace and he revives them. He restores them. He quickens them. And he gives them a fresh revelation of his glory. He gives them a fresh revelation of his love and kindness and grace toward them. And we see this in what this believer goes on to say about the Lord. Look at what she says about him in verse 9 of the chapter. She says, what is my beloved more than another beloved? And then at the very end in verse 16, speaking of the Lord, her beloved, she says, his mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend. O daughters of Jerusalem. And my, those words there are most descriptive of one who is restored to fellowship with the Lord. We see here this believer confesses that there's no one like Christ. She says, "What is my beloved more than another beloved?" There's no one to compare with Christ in their life. They also speak here of the loveliness of Christ and the sweetness of Christ and the companionship again of Christ. Look at verse 16. His mouth is most sweet. They now delight in the Word of God and the messages of God to their heart and to their soul. They speak further of Christ and say, "Yea, He is altogether lovely." They're taken up with the love and the beauty of Christ and all that Christ is to His people. "This is my beloved. This is my friend." There has been a rebuilding, a restoring of that fellowship with the Lord. They say, "This is my beloved. This is my friend." She knew the Lord's restoring touch. The Lord was gracious to her and restored her to Himself. You know, over in Jeremiah chapter 3, and in the verse number 14, there the Lord has a tremendous promise for all of His children, His redeemed children. This is what He says in that verse. He says, "I am married unto you." There is no divorce with the Lord and His people. No, as it were, casting off of the people of God and divorcing them from Him by the Lord. No. Am I speaking to one today and you're at a distance from the Lord? There's a distance today between you and the Lord. You're no longer walking in fellowship with the Lord as you once did. If that is so, I urge you today, dear believer, come back to the Lord even today. Come back to the Lord now today. Whatever has taken you away from the Lord, confess it to the Lord. Forsake it. Seek that fresh cleansing in the Savior's precious blood. Ask for the Lord's restoring grace and power in your life, and you will not be disappointed, no. The Lord says, "Return unto me, and I will return unto you." Turning your Bible over there to Hosea chapter number 14. Hosea chapter 14. Look at what we read in verses 1 and 2 of that chapter. Hosea chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. It says, "O Israel," here the Lord is speaking to His own people, and He says, "O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. For thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with ye words and turn to the Lord, and say unto Him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips." Believer, this is how you and I as Christians come back to the Lord. And when we do and come back to the Lord with that wonderful promise, that wonderful assurance of His restoring touch, look at verse 4 of the same chapter. The Lord says, "I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from Him." The Lord is one who saves. The Lord is one who keeps. And the Lord is one who restores. He does not cast off. And dear believer, in restoring you, the Lord will bless you. And He will use you again for His honor and for His glory as His child. Indeed, with this believer here in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and the verse number 16, you too will be able to confess Christ before others and say of Christ, "His mouth is most sweet. Yea, He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend." What a blessing to have the friendship of Christ. The Bible says of Christ that He's a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. Brethren and sisters in Christ, this is where the Lord wants us to be, as His people, witnessing for Christ, serving the Lord, living for His honor and glory, even as we enter into this gospel mission. Help us to confess Christ before others, to speak of Him before others, to speak of our friendship to the Lord, to others, tell others about the mission, that the Lord Jesus is passing this way. Let us do all we can in the time that is given to us to invite, to encourage, and bring others in under the sound of God's word, because the night cometh when no man can work. Dear unsaved friend in our meeting, let me say this to you today, that if Christ is to be your friend on earth, if you are to have the friendship and the fellowship of Christ and heaven forevermore, then now in time you must repent of your sins. The Bible says, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And as repentant sinner, you must put your faith, put your trust in Jesus Christ and in a sacrifice alone for your salvation. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Come to Christ today. Confess your sins to Him. Call upon Him to save you. And He will save you. Begin a life of walking with God. A walk that will one day take you into heaven to everlasting life and everlasting glory with Christ as your Redeemer. We're going to close our meeting this morning by singing together the hymn number 427. 427. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. None else could heal all her soul's diseases, no, not one, no, not one. Hymn number 427 will stand as we sing. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us here today. We thank Thee for help given in the ministry of Thy Word. Apply Thy Word to all our hearts as Thou would see our needs. Speak on, Lord, when the voice of man is silent. Help us day by day as Thy people to keep close to Thee. Keep us, Lord, in that place of fellowship with Thee, that place where Thou canst bless us and use us, Lord, for Thine honor and glory. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt protect us from all the snares and pitfalls of the evil one as the people of God. And for any, Lord, in our gathering today not saved, oh, that they might choose Christ, that they might trust Him and embrace Him as He's freely offered to them in the gospel. And today may they be saved and begin that journey to heaven. Speak on, we beseech of Thee. Part us with Thy fear and favor. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the abiding fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide and remain with each one now and always. Amen.